That's right. You are tuned in to Hour 2, or what we like to call the after party of Once Upon a Time Radio. It's a live interactive show where you, your voicemails, and emails are all part of the show. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the hit ABC drama Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. Thank you so much for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Now, on with the show.
All right, welcome back to Hour 2 of Once Upon a Time Radio. Are you okay?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
One shoe off, babies.
What?
One shoe off.
Yes, one shoe off, please.
Hello.
One shoe off. Unless you're a dog laying in the dog bed over here and you can just leave your paws alone. That's fine. So, welcome back if you've already been with us on Hour 1, and we're going to read some emails now.
Yes, we will. Okay, so this is the first one. It is from Lori, and she says, "Hope your time off from the podcast helped you to rejuvenate you." Yes, actually it did. "While I enjoyed the podcast over the summer, while the show is on its break, you may want to do a monthly podcast so you don't burn out. Love the podcast, but you need some time for yourselves too." I agree with you. So we'll talk about that later at some point in time. Anyway, so we had the characters mention the fact that now outsiders could come into the town since the curse is broken. I hope I now get an answer to the question I've had since the very beginning of season one. How was Henry able to leave, and how was Emma and later August able to enter the town? Is this a question Emma has never thought to ask anyone? So I think we should stop right there and address that, because we've kind of talked about the fact that we think the reason why they have been able to come and go is they were outside the curse. Henry was born outside the curse. Emma was transported to the real world before the curse was fully enacted, and she was just outside the barrier spell, right?
Right.
Which is where August also was, because he's Pinocchio. So that's the only reason why I think the three of them can come and go, because they're not impacted by the curse because they're outside of it. Mm-hmm. They're, because again, Cora put the barrier spell. But anyway, so that's that. That's what I think.
Yep.
And then speaking of which, so I was talking about this earlier, since we're talking about like the whole barrier spell and the fact that they've all been trapped in Storybrooke and all that. Cell phones. Who makes the cell phones? We can't get them from somewhere else. Well, where does everything come from?
Okay.
We had that question a long time ago.
Yeah, I know.
Now that we know.
Emma brought some things.
I understand she did, but they all have had that stuff. So
true.
Tell me how that stuff got there. How do they get food all the time? How do they get things made all the time?
I think a Nokia rep was standing over the boundary and started throwing stuff. Here's a cell phone. It's a cell phone.
I don't think so. But I'm just saying that was the question I wanted to ask. And I think it needs to be brought up again, because again,
right.
People now they can come in and out,
mm-hmm.
but before they couldn't. So tell me how they got all that information.
Yeah,
I know we talked about this a long time ago, really long time ago. Anyway,
yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Lori, back to the email. Okay. At the gathering at Granny's, Grumpy was asking about going back to Fairytale Land and said something about having penicillin. Did I understand him correctly? And he was saying that now they could go to the outside world and have things like antibiotics and Storybrooke?
Let's play the clip.
Let me finish your question,
right.
Because I think if I finish this little paragraph, I think it'll, you know, we can answer it. If so, this seems odd since they have a hospital that looks so modern and antibiotics are such a everyday part of modern life that you would think the hospital would have antibiotics. Or did it misunderstand and Grumpy was saying that they can return to Fairytale Land and take the antibiotics with them? Let's play the clip.
Yep.
Ladies, dwarves have been thinking.
Can I just say how cool Grumpy is? Ladies. Ladies.
He's not Dominito.
No, but I mean, he's a cool chap.
he's
ladies,
pretty cool, and he's much cooler than Don Juanito.
And Lee, if you're listening, that was pretty cool.
It was. It was okay, very well
here,
said.
Here it is.
Lincoln, we have to ask. When do we go back?
Back? Where?
The Enchanted Forest. Our home.
You want to go back? We fought really hard to get here.
Yeah. But with what Regina did to Archie, Storybrooke ain't as safe as we thought.
We're going to find her. There's only so many places she can hide. We've dealt with her before. We'll do it again.
Yeah, but it's not just her. The curse is broken. There's a whole world full of people beyond the town line that don't know who or what we are. Ever think of what might happen if one of them were to come pay us a visit?
He's right. What if they see, you know, magic? Like a girl turning into a wolf, for example? Folks weren't exactly understanding back in our world. Okay, let's not worry about what ifs. No one is here.
Yet. Maybe they come, maybe they don't. But that doesn't change the fact that while we might enjoy things like penicillin or a bit homesick.
Okay.
You should have seen David's look on his face when he said homesick. He's like,
yeah.
Ooh. The elephant in the room has been spoken.
It has been spoken. So the answer was now, hey, we enjoy these modern conveniences like penicillin, which they didn't have in Fairy Tale World. That's where the penicillin comic came up. So, yes, they do have penicillin here, and that's the whole point. And he was saying that they could take the antibiotics with him. Yes, that is. I think that, I don't know if he meant to, that he wanted to take them back, but he was saying, look, we've got these modern conveniences, but doesn't change the fact we're still homesick.
Right.
So that's where that came into play.
So in the chat room, there's a lot of discussion, and it's bringing out some holes in the story. So we'll kind of...
Okay. Well, I have one more little paragraph to finish,
okay,
and then,
all
we
right,
can,
sorry,
then we can get,
sorry,
to that. So Laura continues, I saw the previews for next week, as I'm sure you did.
Oh.
Take a deep breath, Colleen. Remember that the show is awesome as a whole, even if they do throw Frankenstein in on you. Not my favorite either, and I don't like the black and white filming. I love the colors this show has, and I think that is a lot of why I don't like the Frankenstein episodes, because it's so bland from a visual aspect. Thank you, Lori, and yes, I agree with you. I'm not a big fan of the Frankenstein storyline. Really not a big fan of that. And I have stated my reasons repeatedly. I am taking a deep breath, because having had a little bit of a break from everything and, you know, just kind of relaxing and mellowing out, I am going to go into tomorrow night's episode with an open mind that they will redeem themselves from what I consider to be a gross transgression on the canon of the...
Must like Frankenstein.
No. I don't have to like it. I may be okay with it because, and I'll say this, because Eddie and Adam were involved in Lost... When the Lost season series finale, when the final episode aired, I was so disappointed. I felt like a huge letdown. And I was actually, the more I thought about it, the more mad I got. And I was like, you guys, seriously, how could you end it that way? And I know it wasn't Eddie and Adam specifically, but I'm just saying the whole as a whole. And then after we started watching Once Upon a Time and we went back and watched the series finale of Lost, I actually was okay with it. I didn't love it, but I was okay with it. I understood it. It made a little more sense. I got where they were going with it. So I reconciled with the series finale of Lost. So I am saying, now that I've had a little bit of time, now that they've brought other storylines into play, now that they're bringing back good old Frank, or Victor, actually, not Frank, but Victor... We'll see where they go with it. And hopefully it will be something that will redeem it. I still think they should have gone Oz with him, but anyway.
I think they're still going to go Oz with him, but anyway.
Well, and maybe they will, and that would be fantastic if, in fact, they do.
All right, so lots of great points. One is Henry caught a bus out of Storybrooke. Where, really? Because we know that one time,
right,
Ruby was waiting for the bus. I guess the bus does come,
right,
too, you know. And, you know, a valid point. Where did all this stuff come from? You know, there was a delivery of, or Emma brought her stuff or whatever.
Yes.
So, Yeah.
That is true. That is very true.
So, yeah, lots of... what's the matter?
I can't change my account, and I...
Okay.
Anyway. Sorry, I got to log back into it again.
All right. So, yeah, Torty said Emma told Ruby there was no bus. So, yeah, how did Henry get to Boston? And, yeah, you know, maybe the penicillin comment maybe ties in with the whole science.
Yeah,
maybe. Magic versus science, and that magic only goes so far, but then there's science.
Right.
You know, maybe, you know, so.
And that's a possibility as well.
All right.
Dang it.
So, are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm just... This is why I don't like Google Gmail.
Okay.
I'm just expressing my frustration with Google right now. Sorry, kids.
Okay.
I think they're ridiculous.
All right.
Anyway. Okay. So let's go to... Sheesh. Sorry, kids. This is really interesting.
So, no, I can't speak specifically, but I did see a sneak peek, and I think Colleen will be okay. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
I think so. I think so, too. Okay. Did we have another... you want me to go with the next email?
Sure.
Oh, alrighty then. Okay. This is from Tiffany. Hello, it's me again. I'm currently listening to your Saturday show. Great podcast show. I liked listening to the clips and, as always, hearing your thoughts. I also heard you read my email. Thank you. However, I did want to make clear I did actually get a chance to meet and speak with Kitsis and Horowitz during the D23 convention. I was one of the lucky ones who got to see the pilot episode in August during the D23 convention in 2011. After the screening, they had an interview session, and then they had audience members ask questions. My daughter asked a question about Regina at the time. It was a cute story for another time. Afterwards, I just happened to see Kitsis and Horowitz in the hall. I went up and told them I thought this was going to be a great show and that I had been a Lost fan. It was at this time that I asked if they would keep the show family-friendly or going more towards a Lost non-family-friendly. It was Adam Horowitz who assured me that it would stay family-friendly, and Edward Kitsis agreed. At the time, my daughter was only 9. Now she's 11, so at least she's a little bit older. Anyway, as I said in my first letter, thanks for listening to my rant. I agree it could have been worse. I think I was just a little surprised, and I just happened to be at the awkward stage of parenthood. And not being parents, we don't quite completely understand, but I do have nieces and niece and nephews, and so I kind of sort of get that whole
and so
wanting
so
to make sure they don't hear things, and they shock me frequently with the stuff they know. And so, yeah, I kind of get it.
Well, sorry I read into it that, and I mentioned that you meant that you wanted to ask him. Sorry about that. She did, in fact, get to ask him. That's awesome.
Yeah, which is really cool.
I'm trying to think of questions now if I get an opportunity. So.
Oh, they don't want me asking questions.
I know. I know. They're gonna look down and say, is that Colleen? Oh, next? Somebody who's behind her?
Anybody but
is
that crazy
fan behind her or something?
Anybody but that crazy co-host of the Once Upon a Time Fan
Moses.
Podcast. We cannot have her asking questions because we're not going to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't know what they'll say. Yeah. Now, on to her first thoughts of this week's episode. She loves the backstory of Belle, and then we get to see a true beast transformation with the Yagwai. That was really cool, and we did talk about that. Seeing Mulan made me miss Mulan and Aurora, and she's looking forward to seeing more of that backstory. I am too, because I was wondering about that. You know, we saw Mulan backstory, but now what's happening with Mulan and Aurora now? I hope we get to see more of what's going on with that.
Yep.
She says, I'm shocked Archie's alive. The fact that Archie is alive was revealed to the town so soon. I thought it would have been dragged out a lot longer. And
Me too.
We were kind of in that same boat.
I thought this was going to be the second half of season two, the arc. This was going to go the whole rest of the season. That's what I thought.
Yeah, which is interesting because if they've revealed him so soon, what do they have up their sleeves for the rest of season two?
Well, remember the first big shock we had that we didn't think they were going to break the curse in season one.
Oh, yeah, we didn't. We totally didn't.
So we should kind of expect a lot of difference different spins on things.
Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah. And everything is possible, apparently, and anything is fair game at this point, it sounds like. So, and then she says, I felt a lot of the show was predictable. That is until Belle was shocked and knocked shot, I think she meant, and knocked over the line. That blew her away. So, there were parts of it that were, yeah, I kind of saw where they were going to go with it. But then there, that whole, you know, him shooting Belle, that was, I was more afraid Rumple was accidentally going to pull her over. She was going to lean over and kiss him. And that was going to be what did it. And I was just like, yeah, I just, yeah, that was really a little unnerving for me. Mm-hmm. So, and then she says, maybe next week's episode will give us insight to the question of how did Henry get to town if no one could come in or out?
Yep.
And I think we kind of talked about that. And I still think that if that is a question that is asked of them, I think that's what they'll tell us, is that they're outside the curse. That's just the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, she says, I have my doubts. Oh, that reminds me, Dr. Frankenstein is back. Does not look like he was just a Halloween special. And so have a great week, Tiffany. And yeah, he's definitely not a Halloween special. He's definitely I don't think they did that for a one-time episode. I don't know how much they'll actually bring him into the picture. I really hope they focus on some other aspect of his character.
The only way that they can really kind of win me over is if Frankenstein sits up and they do putting on the Ritz. That will be the best.
Oh.
And then we could finally do the musical episode, which everybody always wants. So, anyway.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. Yeah. So, yeah.
We have one more?
We have one more email. All right. This one is from Holly from Wisconsin. She says, hey, Jeff and Colleen. Wow, what an episode. A lot of stuff went down and not all of it good. Belle really proves that she can take care of herself and that she's very resourceful, both in present-day Storybrooke and in Fairy Tale World. Rumple's starting to tell Belle the truth from a certain point of view. I knew that when Rumple told Belle that Mila died and not how she died, I knew it was going to come back and bite him, which did happen when Hook told Belle the truth. Love the adventure that Belle had with Mulan fighting the Beast, who actually turned out to be Prince Philip. Was so glad that the storyline with Archie being found alive happened as soon as it did. Though, to be honest, for a couple of minutes there, I was holding my breath that it wasn't some sort of trick on Cora's part. I gotta say, I agree with her. I thought for a minute there it was gonna be Cora or some other crazy thing. Who knew? Or Cora was gonna pop in and lock Belle in the ship, you know, belly the ship as well. Emma pretty much nailed it on the head that there's going to be a price to pay when they tell Regina that Archie's alive and that Cora's back in town. I don't think a simple, sorry, we were wrong, you didn't kill Archie, is going to cut it. Colleen, I so totally agree with you that I would be panicking just a little bit more that Cora's in town. Yeah, because that was the thing that blew my mind. Archie walks in, says Cora's the one who kidnapped him, and the first thing out of Emma and Henry's mouth is Regina didn't do it.
Right.
Which is great. I'm glad that they thought about her. But then the next thing out of my mouth, if I were Emma, would have been, wait, who kidnapped you?
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah.
So I'm hoping we're going to see that aspect of it come up. Anyway. And Jeff, I also agree with you that if I were Rumple, I would be taking care of Hook right away.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. He got hit by a car, but he might not be dead. One, so he doesn't come back. The reason why, he should take care of Hook is one, so he doesn't come back and try to finish what he started with Belle, even though her memories are gone. Two, one less thing he has to worry about to make sure Belle gets the care she needs when he decides to head out of Storybrooke and try to find Bay. I'm wondering if with the fairy dust situation, sure, he is in an easy working relationship with the fairies here in Storybrooke. Maybe Grumpy will try to talk them or the dwarves into helping Belle out, since he's the one who, when he was dreamy, gave her the fairy dust to encourage her to go on the adventure to get the Yaogwai. So, because her memories are gone, I'm interpreting here, it would be interesting if Grumpy, because he does know Belle, because he's the one who encouraged her to go do it and he gave her the fairy dust, maybe he will try to take care of her or help protect her while Rumple goes and finds Bay.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think that'd be awesome. But I think, like somebody said earlier, I think that so many people love Belle anyway, that I think she'll be very well taken care of and protected. Let's see. She says, maybe he'll return the favor. A girl can hope. Or here's another theory I have. Maybe Henry will come to visit Belle with his storybook and read her the story Beauty and the Beast to see if that will spark her memories. Looking forward to hearing more thoughts on this episode, and I can't wait for Sunday night. Big love to everyone. Thanks, Holly.
Yep.
And that would be kind of interesting because, you know, the book has brought people out of, you know, or at least started to, you know, remind them of who they were when they were cursed. So this is another form of being cursed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, ooh, wow. Her thing just sparked something for me. If this is just another form of being cursed, why doesn't Rumple just kiss her?
Right. Or
I'm just saying,
it could be a 50 first dates kind of a thing, and he has to
make her fall in love with him every day.
Right. Well, or at least once, you know.
Yeah, well, I still like the whole, why not just kiss her?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, he
or
did say, this
dust.
Can't be undone, but I mean, how does he know? I mean, I guess, well, it is the result of the big, bad, evil, awful curse. So he knows what is in it, and maybe that was the whole point.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Well, maybe they need to come up with some other curse to counteract this one.
That's what they need.
Anyway.
So that was the final.
That was the last email.
Okay. You want to play the voicemails?
Oh, sure. I think we should.
Okay. Well, all right. I was kind of hinting that you... But
what? That's okay. I don't have any control over playing them.
Okay. Here we go. Here is the first one from the chilly state of the U.S. Here we go.
Hey, everyone. It's Tyler from Seattle. Didn't get a chance to call in last week, but... I haven't even listened to the first thoughts yet, but I wanted to just call in with a quick couple of thoughts from my initial viewing of this week's episode, because it was amazing. I absolutely loved it, and actually this was the second episode to have me in tears at a moment. Like, just the first one was the season finale last year when it looked like there was going to be no bringing Henry back, because that was incredibly sad. And then the very end of this episode with what happened to Belle, because that was just horrible. But that got me thinking, and I honestly don't think that they would erase Belle's memory without knowing that they're going to somehow have a way that the characters can get their memory back if they cross the border. Or like if, you know, maybe, you know, the Blue Fairy can ignore the fact that she's involved with Rumple.
I think you pre-listened to this, and I think the point was brought up that maybe if he would have put the shawl around her neck, maybe they could have both gone over something like that.
No, you need to finish it because I can't remember.
Okay. All right.
And help her get her memory back because everyone else in town likes her. That's the thing I found interesting is that everybody that you've seen interacting with Belle seems to like her, and yet they hate the guy that she's with. I just find that kind of interesting. And actually, I was really surprised that since Rumple had, you know, got disposed of Mistress Me and turned him into a rat, I was really surprised that he didn't take that hat and have Belle using that to go with him now. Because I think she proved how worth it would be to have her with him. And it was just so heartbreaking seeing her lose her memory. And the fact of what Hook did just was so awful. I'm excited to see what happens next week, but I'm not sure if I'll be watching it live or not. It depends on what time Disneyland closes on a Sunday night, because I'll actually be in the park Thursday through Monday, so I'm excited for that. I leave Wednesday to head down, so I'll...
Yep.
Oh, you got cut off.
So,
a couple things. Yeah, it was very sad that she lost her memories. But I don't know that there's anything he can really do for her. He can't put the scarf around her and bring her across.
Right.
Because the whole point was, it was something that meant something. Prized possession. The hat was Smee's prized possession. Therefore, it's only going to work on Smee.
Right.
The scarf is his prized possession. Therefore, it's only going to work on him.
Yeah.
Belle, if she'd had anything that was her prized possession, then he could have sprinkled it on that. But again, he only had enough potion for two.
Mm-hmm.
So Smee got the first one. He got the second dose.
Well, I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be something like Cora could do it. You know.
Maybe.
And I think, you know, or maybe, you know, Dr. Frankenstein can do something, help her out or something. I think it's going to be someone else that he has to kind of go to someone that he doesn't want to for help to get the help that she needs.
Well, yeah.
Otherwise,
that's possible.
He would never. So.
Yeah.
Kind of like Dr. Whale went to him for his arm and all that stuff.
Right. So, I mean, the idea that, yeah, wouldn't it be awesome since Smee's not using his hat anymore? I mean, he might be using it as a bed now that he's a little rat, but he's not. Wouldn't it be awesome if he could? But I don't think that that's even feasible because of that. And then the other thing was, it was kind of an interesting comment that he made about, you know, everybody loves Belle, but they hate the guy she's with.
Right.
And I'm like, well, okay, I don't know if they hate him. Maybe some of them really do, but I think they really just, they're afraid of him. Mm-hmm. They don't like him much. I don't know if I go as far as hate. Because I think they kind of get, and I mean, if they hated him, David wouldn't have tried to be nice to him. So I just want to, because I got to defend Rumpel, you know. Sorry, I got to do that.
There was a friend of mine at work that she asked if the scene with Smee out behind the rabbit hole there was filmed in Newport Beach because she saw the Weiland painting. There's actually a Weiland in Steveston. And actually, in that area where he turned Smee into the rat, right across, directly across the street is where Spencer and the mob cornered Ruby as the wolf.
Yeah, yeah.
Right across the street. It's actually behind the...
It's down. It's down further.
That's
across the street and down a little further.
We're going to drive up there and I'll show you.
Yeah.
I'll show you. Okay. So...
We'll just ask Ken. Here.
True.
Or Sarah.
Yep.
Either Sarah.
And that's right.
And when I'm right, what are you going to do?
I'll give you a dollar.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have a dollar to give me?
No, I don't. But I will soon. Okay. Here we go. Here is the next voicemail.
Hi, Deb and Colleen and everyone listening. It's Karen from Chicago.
Congratulations, by the way. It's kind of almost telling it to her, sort of.
Yeah.
She got married.
Yeah, back in October.
I know, but...
We said congratulations.
I know.
Okay, we're just saying it again. Great.
Sure, because it's her voicemail.
I'm just saying, I just wanted you to recognize that it's been a while. It's not like it was last weekend.
All right.
I'm just saying.
I know that.
We're
just want to say a few things about the episode. Number one, thank you for clarifying that it was a Pennsylvania episode. Pennsylvania, license plate. I was like Googling that because my TV isn't exactly high definition. Second, my husband pointed out that the pirate ship was way too clean. Wonder if he's hired Don Juanito to do some sweeping for him. And third, I really hated the gun part. I know it felt very, very like real world. So, I mean, it's good and bad. I think they definitely brought the real world into it with the gun, you know, and her getting shot And right when Gold handed her the gun, I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. So that's all my comments. I just wanted to say big love to everybody, all the teams, and definitely a special shout out to the Evil Regals because poor Mama Regina's been through hell lately. So bye. Talk to y'all later. Love y'all.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Karen.
Yeah, it was. Don Juanito is a pretty good swipper, he calls himself. So he probably did do little jobs there. Maybe he swept the sand off first and then went and swept the interior of the boat.
Yeah, it was an awfully clean ship. Yeah. But considering it's been in Fairy Tale World and it just went through some portal magic something or other, maybe it was like a Wonka wash.
Maybe Cora got bored and said, I'm going to clean this ship up.
Bink.
You know.
So, wave her little hand and it cleaned.
Yeah.
She needs to come clean the house here too, by the way. That's okay. So she's the one who cleaned it. I want her to come here.
Oh, I think it's fine. We should have never fired all our house cleaners. Okay. So, the gun was an interesting device.
Mm-hmm.
And, it did. You know, I guess we're kind of used to that kind of a thing.
Well,
but
think about why that would actually be very helpful, because Hook doesn't have a gun. He's got a sword and a hook. You don't have to get real close to shoot a gun and do some damage.
True.
You have to get pretty close with a hook and a sword.
Well, so, I just remember Emma's using a gun initially and then throwing it down and then picking up the sword.
To get rid of Maleficent. Right.
Yeah.
Because, a little tiny gun against a dragon isn't going to do anything, where a big sword through the heart, that will do it.
Yeah. And the Evil Regals, I think I'm picking up that they appreciate your kindness to them because, they've been kind of quiet. It's been a sad, time. So, the one thing I did want to say is speaking of weapons, when the Yagwai was coming up to Belle and she pulled the sword out of the sheath, we kind of always...
Was it a sword?
Yeah.
Are you talking the first time or the second time?
When she was in the town.
In the town, yes. Yeah. Okay. Because when you said pulled it out of the sheath, the first thing that that came to my mind was that tiny little dagger she had when she cornered up in the mountains.
No, it was another dagger, though. I mean, we've seen a number of daggers now already. But no, when she was in the town, underneath the big water holder thing, she pulled the sword out of the sheath. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that we always, and this is probably what they were banking on, we always expect people to kill the monster.
Mm-hmm.
And she did nothing of the kind.
Right.
She pulled it out, came upon, and she cut one of the pipes or whatever and brought down the water, which it really fits in with her. She reminds me of a female, just go with me here, a female William Wallace. Remember the whole idea with William Wallace? He said, you don't need brute strength, you need head smart.
Right, exactly.
When he cut all those,
right, so. And that's the point, exactly why she did what she did. Because even with the sword, she knew that in order to really best the beast, she had to put out the flames.
Right.
Because the flames wouldn't allow her to get close enough to actually kill the beast.
I wonder if that was in the book, too.
A good question. We don't know because it wasn't said. But, I mean, she's very resourceful. She's very clever and very smart. I've always liked Belle.
Yep. Yes, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania license plate.
Yep.
All right. So here is two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Play the older one first, obviously.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Brad from Ohio, and I wanted to run an idea by you guys, just see what you guys thought about this. The first I'd like to say, Once Upon a Time is an amazing show. I mean, I've seen things in the past, shows that try to do this, but they just didn't get going like this one does. But Once Upon a Time, I mean, the actors in there give themselves 100% to who they are, to see how emotional they are at times. I mean, it's just extraordinary to see what they can do on this show. There hasn't been a show since Lost that, you know, has a show like this captivated me this much. But, I mean, it's just wonderful to see. And I actually told a story to my kids one time about they go into their closet, and once they get in there, there's a bunch of doors. But, you know, in the story that I told, there was different cartoon worlds that they could go into. So when I saw on Hat Trick where Regina and Jefferson had gone to the hat and they saw these doors, I mean, it was visually, you know, what I had been telling my kids. And I showed them, and they were excited, and I was excited. And it was just, you know, there's the doors. I can't believe it. And so, you know, to take that and to see that, it's like being a kid again, because everything that you saw and believed when you were a kid as far as fairy tales and things like that, this show actually takes you back to that time where you can be a kid again. And I can take the ideas and the things that I learned from the show, and I can share that with my kids. And then both of us go back and forth, and, you know, we can just talk about these stories again. And this show is truly amazing. I think the actors are incredible. And like I said, not since Lost have I been so entranced in a show like this. But what I wanted to do is give you a thought here, and I don't know what you guys will think about it. But talking about James and what his name will be, I heard from the official podcast of Kitwitz and Horvitz that we will be hearing what James's name is. Actually, we know that in the fairy tale land, he's Prince James, which is from his brother. We know that his Prince Charming is the nickname that Snow gave him, and he's David in Storybrooke. But we don't know what his real name is, and I believe that the writers may have held it off because it may mean something. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm not sure if this is going to be it, but let's just try this. I'm going to think that he is Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk. And let me just preface this a little bit with why I think that. In the original Jack and the Beanstalk story, his wife was Jack's mother didn't have a father. She was widowed. And that's the same thing we see here with James, that his wife is widowed.
All right. And he calls back.
Yeah, he does call.
So here we go.
Hi, this is Brad again, just calling back. I got cut off there. Going back with Jack being James from Jack and the Beanstalk, I'm thinking that we saw that he was poor in the Shepherd, and that Rumpelstiltskin had showed up and talked about how there was two sons there, and one of them was given to King George, and the other one was able to stay with the parents. Now, in that same vein of thinking that James would be poor, you know, it's not too, you know, out there to think that for Ruth to talk to James and say, you know, take this cow, go out there and sell it because the cow's not giving milk, and for somebody to give him magic beans and then for him to go ahead and plant the beanstalk is not too much out there. We've heard in The Shepherd that when she went out to the market, she had talked to the merchants, talked about the merchant's daughter, had a dowry that could save the farm. So we know that their farm needed to be saving. So if we take that idea and think that, you know, maybe he is Jack and maybe he's going to go up the beanstalk, and I know that we saw in Tallahassee that Emma and Hook saw that there was a skeleton there with a sword that said Jack, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that is Jack that's lying there, as we've seen in the past. I always take the thought that if you didn't see the person die on screen, then, you know, we're not sure if they're dead. So, you know, it could be somebody else took the sword and went up there, and maybe the giants are telling a different story. Maybe the Hook, the story that Hook tells, you know, maybe both of them is true, you know, going back and forth. But maybe we find out that he is Jack and he has climbed up the beanstalk. And I just think it's a crazy theory. I just want to throw it out there to see what you guys thought. I love the podcast. I listen to it all the time. I just want to continue to give you guys big love. And I'll be listening every day, and just wanted to tell you guys that you guys are awesome. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah, thanks.
And, yeah, some of the pieces are there.
They're definitely there. You know? There's definitely some similarities. It's possible because, like he said, if we don't see somebody actually die, then are they really dead? I mean, perfect example is Archie. That was a great example. So, I mean, you know, that's just that whole thing. It's a feasibility, and it's, you know, it certainly would be an interesting twist if that's the way they decide to do it. But then I still am kind of inclined to think his name actually is David, because David Shepherd, I think they went kind of biblical on that. But that's just me. I mean, I see where it could totally come up as him being Jack and the Beanstalk. And again, if somebody took a sword, who's up at the top of the beanstalk then?
Right.
But again, and then again, you know, I mean, was Hook telling the truth or was Hook lying? Hook doesn't usually lie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He likes to tell the truth a lot. So I don't know. Anything is possible. He twists the truth a little bit and, you know, tells only bits and pieces of it sometimes, but he doesn't like outright tell, like, not like Pinocchio. So that's just me.
Yeah. Our furry daughter is whining, so
she is indeed.
Sorry for the people that don't dogs and stuff, but anyways, she's kind of whimpering. So well, I know.
She's sad because she wants you to play with her dad.
I know.
Anyway.
So it could be, you know, and I think it'd be kind of a cool idea to just, you know, have the giant kill somebody, or maybe they just die and then put the sword next to it and say, yeah, that's Jack. You know, Jack's gone. But maybe he stole the sword from the real Jack. And maybe the initial Jack was maybe a brother or relation somehow to Ruth.
I
don't know. Anything's possible.
There's so many possibilities.
You know, the interesting thing is when this show first started, I remember there was just this huge roar of people that would say, you know, you need to study up on your fairy tales and all this kind of stuff. And right about the time of Fruit of the Poisonous Tree, all bets were off. Mm-hmm. This was a whole new game.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, and then we saw Frankenstein, and then that was another level of, okay,
Alice in Wonderland.
Don't know where this is going. So, you know, the day you really kind of lock down to, well, it can't be this and it can't be that because of this, is like, anything's possible.
Right.
So
that's why I said especially.
Brad brings up some good points. Mm-hmm. There could be something there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
not to say that it's not possible. I think it is feasible. I still am inclined to think that his real name's David.
Yeah.
And, you know, they may give him something completely different. I don't know, but I'm kind of hinging my bet on
it. Would be fun. It would
David.
Be fun if Jack was a girl, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Just kind of turn it on its head. You know, if they don't go with that, but
yeah.
You know, I think that's part of what the fun is. You know, Brad was mentioning that he uses parts of the show to kind of talk to his kids, and you know, we've had some great conversations, and you know, there's some points we're going to talk about. You know, as we kind of continue through the episode, it's like, apart from maybe a police drama or maybe, you know, Grey's Anatomy, you really don't have this kind of discussion with people about certain things, like home, for example.
Yeah.
At least two times they mentioned going home. And the second time in the episode, Mary Margaret said, our home was gone.
Yeah.
And
we have a chance for a new life.
Right. And it's interesting, you know, sometimes people have this idea of home maybe when they were kids, or maybe when they were younger, or maybe when times were better or different or whatever. But it's like, I want to go home. And, you know, home is where the heart is, and home is where you are. And you make home where you are, you know. And I think that's an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting that a show like this, even though it's fun and all this, it has some really interesting talking points, you know. So, you know, how can Prince Charming have an affair and break up a marriage?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you say, well, wait a minute, that's kind of happens in real life.
Yeah, it is real life.
You know, and so But anyway, thank you so much for all the voicemails. And we'll kind of continue walking through some of the notes I took. So yeah, and you had mentioned that Mulan, Colleen.
Yes.
Had mentioned that Mulan probably really respected Belle because she cured Philip, and Mulan was trying to kill the Beast.
Well, it was not so much more, so, I mean, it was more not so much a respect. I actually thought, because the speculation a while back was, oh, Mulan's in love with Philip, that's why she's vowed to take care mm-hmm. of Aurora for him and blah, blah, blah. And then there's the question of, well, maybe she's in love with Aurora. So, you know, that's why she's doing this. And so I kind of, what struck me was Mulan, I think the reason why she is so protective of Aurora, it's one of two things and maybe a combination of both. I think she does care a great deal about Aurora, but I think the reason why she specifically wanted to make sure that Philip got his true love was that she felt guilty because she almost killed him.
Right.
She couldn't, you know, she was so blinded by the fury and she couldn't see that he was actually cursed, a cursed beast. So she, I think she felt guilty, and to kind of appease that or assuage that guilt, not appease it, assuage that guilt, she vowed to basically help him find his true love. That's why she helped him find Aurora. And that was her way of keeping her the honor and the noble, you know, noble aspect of that whole thing. And then now that she's with Aurora, the fact that I think she may either, I don't know if she still feels guilty or not, but I think that she may actually care for Aurora at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a, hey, she's my best friend kind of a thing, or it may be something more, I don't know. But I do know that it just struck me as Mulan, the whole impetus behind why she is going the way she's going and why she's fighting so hard to get Philip and Aurora back together is I think she's doing it out of honor.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole point of Mulan in the first place.
Yep. So, also, Maleficent exiled Philip in Mulan's land as the young, as the whiny dog, as a Yagwai, much like the Evil Queen did to Maleficent using a trap. So it's that whole idea of banishing in another mm-hmm. form. So mm-hmm. It's kind of it's a card to play. And yeah, it was interesting that I guess love makes evil queens and sorceresses mad. They don't like it because they're probably alone and they don't have love.
Think about it. It's a jealousy factor. Mm-hmm. It's a, why doesn't anyone love me?
Right.
How, am I not lovable? That's what I think a lot of their anger is geared towards. They want what everybody else has. And love makes you do crazy things. And lack of love makes you do even crazier things, I mm-hmm. think.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. You know, we've talked about true love and all that kind of stuff. True love has power, you know, and I guess it's more powerful than evil spells, potions, dark magic,
mm-hmm.
and evil doers fear love, you know, true love. So now the dog's scratching on her dog bed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's life. This is Saturday night, boy.
Mm-hmm.
The dog's just getting restless. So it was interesting when Gold was backing away from Hook because Belle mentioned the good in Gold was a bit like Regina telling Archie, you're lucky I've changed. And she walked away. It was that same kind of thing, you know, it's the struggle. So that's why I see them on the same path of redemption. So house hunting in Storybrooke with a couple, even a royal couple, is tough. It's just tough.
Yeah.
you just can't decide, and it's just crazy.
Man, that there is definite truth in that. Buying a house is one of the most stressful things you can ever put yourself through, mm-hmm. whether you do it by yourself or as a married couple. I'm telling you.
Yep. So it was, you know, interesting that there's a point where Mary Margaret and David don't agree. And they're having this discussion about, well, wait a minute, maybe we don't want the same things.
That worries Mary Margaret.
Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, what I like about this show is that we see the day after the big wedding, the month after the big mm-hmm. wedding, the mm-hmm. year after the wedding, is that most of the time, I'm going to tread lightly. I know I'm going to get myself in trouble. Some women,
I know where you're going with this,
plan for a wedding.
Yes.
Their whole life. They picture it. They write their married name over and over and over, like Emma. And they put all this money and all this time mm-hmm. and decisions mm-hmm. and all on this wedding day.
Right.
But then there's the day after, the month after, mm-hmm. the year after the wedding. And I think that's what we're seeing, is that it's one thing to be in love.
Right.
But it's another thing to walk it out in real life.
Well, and let me just tell you that the part of the problem with this is, unfortunately, these fairy tales say they got married and they lived happily ever after.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So little girls don't know what "and a happily ever after" means. So they think it's all just sunshine and roses.
Yeah.
What they don't tell you is that you get married and within a matter of months, you're going, "What the crap did I just do?"
Well, yeah, it's kind of like,
seriously,
yeah,
that first year of marriage is really difficult. I'm not going to lie. We've been married almost 14 years. And that first year of marriage is extremely difficult because they don't tell you. Seriously, nobody tells you what it's like to all of a sudden live with somebody who's different than you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all wonderful and you think it's all, oh, champagne and roses. It'll be wonderful. I'll come home. He'll come home from work and I'll be in the kitchen with my cute little frilly apron on. I'll have dinner on the table and he'll think it's wonderful. And then we'll sit and cuddle by the fire and, you know, whisper sweet nothings in each other. Right. That is a load of crap.
I know.
That does not happen.
So what I do like, though, is, I mean, even in the cricket game, we saw how Snow basically went against Prince Charming and said, no.
Yeah.
Stop. No, we're not doing this. And so this is a really interesting settling of power.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because normally it's like...
But it's reality.
Yeah,
that is the point. You know, reality is that life is tough and marriage is work. And you know, as a woman, I can honestly say that I listen to, you know, girls that I've heard who are young and they don't know any better, but they are young and they think to themselves, oh, I can't wait for my wedding day. It's going to be wonderful. I'm like, okay, that's great. Fine. Plan for the wedding day. It's going to be a beautiful, wonderful, big party day for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But you better plan for beyond that because if I'm telling you that first year of marriage, especially, you go through seriously huge mental problems where you go, oh my God, what the heck have I done?
We keep going, but it's funny.
Yeah.
The little thing that drew you to the person is going to be the thing at some point that's going to drive you crazy.
Well, exactly.
It's like that little laugh is so cute.
But again,
and then
and that's,
months later, it's like,
right. That's not
if
that
you
cute.
You laugh one more time. I'm telling
could
you.
Could you chew any louder?
Yeah. Okay. So anyway,
what I was going to say is, however, I love this stuff in the show because they're showing that it's not all happily ever after. There is reality and it is work. And as long as you work hard for it, then you can see that there is happiness to be had.
Right.
But you have to work at it. You have to fight for it. It's not going to come, you know, plopping on your platter, you know, like a, you know, snap your little fingers and woohoo, everything's happy. Yeah. And that was that. That is just, I'm telling you, it's
not reality's good.
Reality's so. Good. And I think it's important because, again, I think the tragic part of this is that, unfortunately, as little girls, we are taught you find the prince, you fall in love after one day, you meet him, you marry him, and you fall in love after you've had some tragic, crazy thing happen. He saves you, rescues you, and then you fall in love and you live happily ever after. And I love that this show says, you know what? Happily ever after is not, it doesn't come out of a microwave. You got to cook it and you got to work at it. So that's just me.
Absolutely. And let's see. So let us continue. And we're almost done, little dog. So hang in there. So it was interesting seeing the evil queen capture Belle. So we've now seen the rest of that little story. Mm-hmm. You know, she was mentioning she's going to fight for Belle or fight for gold and mm-hmm. and all this kind of stuff. Yep. And Regina said, "No, I've saved you a lifetime of misery."
Yeah.
So it's better to be locked up in a tower mm-hmm. than think that you can change Rumpelstiltskin.
Well, yeah, especially because she said that monster's not redeemable.
Yep.
I know she didn't use that word, but there's no saving him, basically.
So let's talk a little bit about the final scene, and then we will end hour two. So I did listen to the official Once Upon a Time podcast, and Adam and Eddie said the final scene, and I know it's kind of broken up into two parts, but that final scene at the border was like an opera. In that, you know, there was, you know, a duet, and then it kind of built and it built and it built into this big crescendo. Mm-hmm. And it was the perfect place for Hook to kind of finish his that was his response to not only Mila, but also the beating on the top of the ship. So, it was very, very well done, I thought, because, you know, he poured it on, he stepped over, it worked. Mm-hmm. You know, they were kind of trading some hugs and good luck and, you know, come back and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And then, boom, she went over the line. Mm-hmm. You know, who's Belle?
Wow.
And then we see this car careen in.
Mm-hmm.
Gold jumps out of the way, leaves this cane in the street, for heaven's sake. Mm-hmm. Then this car just bashes into Hook.
Yep.
And then we see lightning. And that reminded me that every time, pretty much, a stranger would come into town, it was raining. When Emma and Henry came into town, it was raining. Mm-hmm. When August came to town, there was a storm, and now we see lightning.
Interesting.
Now, I think the only two people that kind of got out of it was Hook and Cora, because they came in by sea. If they would have came in by highway, it would have been a storm.
Probably.
So, anyway, just kind of an interesting
Which brought me to an interesting point. So Hook gets run over by a car, probably because he doesn't know what a car is. But it's funny because how does he not, like, these people have, they all suffer from a deplorable lack of curiosity. They don't wonder about anything. Emma doesn't wonder, wait, Cora, like, is the one who kidnapped you? Are you sure about that? You know, that whole thing. No, she didn't wonder about that. And Hook doesn't wonder what a car is and how he should get out of the way of the car.
Yeah.
And Belle doesn't wonder what a cell phone is and how it's magical that you can, you know, I guess maybe because they have magic. Well, I guess maybe because they have magic where they come from, it's, you know, it's just a different form of magic. But it's just kind of funny. I don't know. It just cracked me up as they don't seem to be very curious about stuff that I think mere mortals would think about.
All right, so I will end with a quote from our Facebook page for our podcast. And it's from Karen Patrickin Guest.
Mm-hmm.
And but I will say this is in the name of the brother, tomorrow's episode will be playing, and we will get a 2-week kind of mini hiatus.
Yeah.
So
award season and Super Bowl.
So, yeah, I think we're going to take a I think we'll do the live show after. No.
We could.
What's next weekend?
I don't know.
Okay.
This weekend is a holiday weekend because, right. You know, Monday's holiday.
True. So I'm going to plan on doing the live show next weekend, but then the weekend after we will not have a live show.
Exactly.
Obviously, there's not going to be a First Thoughts.
Correct.
Next.
There will be First Thoughts tomorrow night.
Right.
And then there will be live show the following Saturday, and then after that we'll take a break until it comes back, and when it comes back then we'll do First Thoughts again, and then the following Saturday will be a live show again.
Yep.
It's a little break.
So that is the that's the plan, and I will read her post. Now I was asking, do you have a list of kind of people in the background that you wonder about, like that Mr. Krzyzewski? I don't know what the guy's name is. Mr. K. Do you have a list of those people that you always kind of refer to and say, I'm going to see that person again, or these people again, whatever. And she said, what about the dad from True North?
Oh, yeah. Well, and then if we're going to go that far, Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ava and Nicholas.
And she goes on and says, the garage is really in trouble if him and Billy are gone. And that's true.
That is very true.
They're both gone.
Yeah, Billy's gone. That's sad.
And she says, also, have we seen Catman lately? And I will tell you, I have seen Catman in season 2. So I will
probably... No, we did. Remember? Didn't you see Didn't you see him walk across the street?
Oh, yeah, sure.
In the background?
Yeah.
That was funny.
So, it's... Yeah, I'm going to do a video about the old Catman, all the times we've seen the Catman. And if you haven't seen our videos on YouTube, it's youtube.com/DVRStorybrook, spelled like the town. And go ahead and check them out. So anyway, that's it. I thank everybody for sharing your Saturday evening with us. Logging in, chatting in the chat room, and a couple of questions about Paley Fest, and we are going.
Yes,
so we do have our tickets and all that. And poor Mark was reminding folks that, yeah, he went to Disneyland when he was visiting hell. So yeah, it was hot.
Well, and it's gonna be warm this week. It's supposed to be in the mid to upper 70s this week. Which is warmer than it's been, because, I mean, last week it was, what, 50s for the high? Mid to the upper 50s for the high?
Yeah, we're in the orchestra section in the back.
We are in the orchestra section in the back.
So I guess I'll bring my tuba and we'll see what we can do.
Brother.
So, all right. Thanks again, everyone, for being here, participating. Thanks for the emails and the voicemails. And we want to send big love out to everybody. Remember to pass it on. Don't keep it. There's enough to go around. So have a great week. Remember, Once Upon a Time is on tomorrow, so we'll be doing our First Thoughts. So take care, guys, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
And you can be part of the show in a number of ways. Leave us a voicemail at area code 657-333-0626. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. We're on Facebook. Check us out at facebook.com/OUAT podcast. Our Twitter name is OUAT podcast. The email address that you can use, send us a message anytime, is at feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceovers.com. And now, All of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceovers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.